This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God said that His creation was very good. The world God created in the beginning was perfect, a paradise. God created all living creatures that crawl on the ground, that swim in the waters, and that fly in the air. God created the first humans. In His own image, He created them. Male and female, He created them. And it was good. Very good. It was perfect. God placed Adam and Eve, our ancestors, in a beautiful garden called Eden. And indeed, it was beautiful because it was perfect. Adam and Eve were to care for the garden. But in that perfect paradise, work was not a drudgery. Instead, in that perfect paradise, work was a joy and a pleasure. The Garden of Eden produced all that humans needed in abundance. So there was no need to worry about the weather, because the world was perfect and death itself did not exist. There was no need to worry about anything, because everything was perfect. It was exactly how God intended it to be. However, the best reality of all, the best of all, was the relationship that God had with the crown of His creation. You see, God and humans were united together in perfect unity. It was an amazing relationship. God and man walked hand in hand in perfect fellowship. They talked face to face. They lived in perfect communion. The beautiful Garden of Eden was the place where God and man dwelled together in perfect peace. So it was in the beginning. But the devil, a rebellious angel, tempted Adam and Eve to make the same evil choice he had made. The old evil foe tempted Adam and Eve to question God's integrity by suggesting that God really didn't have their best interests in mind. The wicked serpent tempted Adam and Eve to doubt God's word and to trust their own reason instead. Satan whispered that God was hiding something from them, holding back the ability to be like Him, keeping them from deciding for themselves what is good and what is evil. Sadly, they believed the devil, and they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thus declaring that they would be their own gods. And as a result, they tasted death as they willingly rejected their Creator and Life-Giver. My friends, this is our tragic history. God created a perfect paradise for us in the beginning, but that paradise has been lost because of our rebellion against God. Our sin and rebellious ways destroy our relationship with God. We humans, who were intended to live forever in a love relationship with God, sadly, we often choose for ourselves an eternity of separation from Him. Adam and Eve sinned, and they were driven from the Garden of Eden. And their return was forbidden by the flaming sword of the cherubim, one of the angels who were loyal to God. Adam and Eve were exiled from a perfect paradise into a world cursed because of our sin against God. But that's not the end of the story. Thank God. Thank God He is merciful. Even though we don't deserve it, God still gives us many days of joy, many days of beauty, and many days of pleasure in this sin-cursed world. He gives us water to drink. He gives us air to breathe. He gives us rain and sunshine to make our crops grow. He gives us homes to live in, clothing to protect our bodies from the harsh elements of nature. And He gives us countless other blessings I don't even have time to mention. But even though God gives us many days of pleasure and provision, the fact remains, this world is cursed. There are natural catastrophes, there's disease, there's war, there's suffering, there's death. There are school shootings in Florida. Dust we are, and to dust we must return because of our sin against God. We are created in God's image from the dust, but now, because of sin, we must return to the dust in disgrace. We are created to live forever in the presence of God, but because of sin are now exiled to a land of darkness and death, far from the face of God. How tragic for Adam and Eve, and how tragic for us, their children. Exiled like Adam and Eve from the beautiful garden. Exiled from before the face of God and from before His presence. Exiled and driven out into the darkness of a sin-damaged world with sin-filled hearts. Sin exiles us from God. Sin exiles us from the courts of heaven. Sin exiles us from the courts of everlasting life. So is there any hope for us? Is there any way to restore the paradise that we lost? Is there any way we can restore the damage done by our sin against God? I'm afraid that our sin is ever before us. All we have to do is think over the years of our life, and if we're honest, we must hang our heads in shame over the many times we have rebelled against God with our desires and our thoughts and our words and our deeds. We cannot return from our exile by our own reason or strength. We cannot enter into the presence of God by means of the work of our own hands. On our own, we are helpless and hopeless, wandering in the darkness. We thus hang our heads, unable to look our Creator in the face, unable to see His glory, unable to meet His eye, because we are sinners, exiled from the garden, exiled from the presence of God. And once again, we cannot return on our own. The journey is too difficult, too demanding, too treacherous. We need help. We need a Savior. We need one who will restore us to God's presence. We need one who will return us to the garden paradise God intended for us. We need someone to give us a new creation. And praise God, He has given us such a Savior. The one promised to Adam and Eve and to us all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. God told them that the darkness would be overcome by the one who would do battle against the evil serpent. The seed of the woman would crush the head of Satan, even as her seed suffered the pain of indignity, the indignity of being bruised in the flesh while bearing our sin and death on the cross. The promised one would overcome our sin through the ultimate battle fought on the cross. The burden that He would carry to the cross would be our sin and shame, and the sacrifice would be His body. God's Son, born of the woman, would suffer what we deserve. He would bear what we could not endure, and He would accomplish that which has always escaped us, a return from the exile of sin and death. After Adam and Eve sinned, we're told that God clothed them with animal skin. Don't miss that. An animal had to die. Blood had to be shed. The first sacrifice. The first picture of how the promised Savior would restore paradise. The blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, cleanses and returns us to our God. And so we who believe in God's Son, we are still waiting for this world to be fully healed. Even though we have complete forgiveness now through faith in Jesus, we're still waiting for the final consummation. The good news is that God's new creation has already begun in us, whom the Holy Spirit has moved to repent and trust in God's Son for reconciliation with Him and the certain hope of eternal life with Him in paradise. As we say at the end of the Creed, we look forward to the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. But that new creation begins in us when the Holy Spirit, through God's Word, gives us new hearts of repentance and faith in Jesus. Listen to what the Apostle Paul writes about this in 2 Corinthians chapters 4 and 5. He says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new is here." We need this new creation in our hearts. You see, without repentance, without faith in Christ, people remain separated from God and are doomed to spend eternity separated from Him. But if the Holy Spirit has worked through God's Word to give you a new heart that grieves over rebellion against God and doubt of His Word, a new heart that trusts God and loves Him and longs to spend eternity with Him, if you have such a new heart, then you have God's forgiveness now and you have the certain hope of eternal life with Him. Those of you who trust in God's Son as your Savior, you are new creations and you can look forward to the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. A world that will be a perfect paradise, a new Garden of Eden. In fact, I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul writes about this future new creation in Romans chapter 8. He says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." And so it has come to pass. God has kept His promise. We have been redeemed and restored by the seed of the woman, God's eternal Son, Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior. God's Son has fought the good fight in our place, and in our place has overcome all that kept us from the garden. Paradise was lost, but paradise has been won again. The gates of the Garden of Heaven stand open before us. We who were exiled from Eden through faith in God's Son shall return through the gates of everlasting life. Indeed, the day shall come when we will walk through those gates and we will see the Lamb on His throne and we will live with Him forever in His perfect paradise of love, the new creation. Amen.